It's a quarter past nine. This is Racing HQ. We start the week previewing what we're going to be getting on Friday and Saturday up in the Hunter Valley at Scone. It's their standalone Saturday and, of course, the Scone Cup meeting on Friday. The club's secretary joining us, Sarah Wills. Morning to you, Sarah. What an exciting week ahead we've got.
Good morning, Andrew. Yes, we're getting very excited now, getting very close to the big 2 days.
I saw a photo on Twitter this morning. You've got a glorious morning there.
Yes, it's a pretty good morning, and hopefully more to come during the week.
I've got to ask you then, what's the forecast around later on in the week?
I think the weather will be fine. They're talking maybe some showers, but I think that's really, for the coast, I think it'll be fine here. Look, pretty clear for the rest of the month, to be honest.
Now, what standalone meeting is this? What number?
This is five.
Five, gee, I was hesitating because they all happen so quickly, but it's developed so quickly into prize money that nearly reaches $2 million.
Yes, that's right. It's incredible prize money and, you know, great black-type opportunities for fillies and mares, and that sort of assists our breeders who are such fantastic supporters of us.
Well, they certainly are. I mean, the English Guineas, the Dark Jewel, you've got all the leading sponsors, the studs, Yarraman Park, Luskin Star, the Arrowfield Hortensia, the Coolmore Denise's Joy, you've got the prize Easy Feed Woodlands. They're all there, aren't they? And, of course, the major sponsor of the whole 2 days is Emirates Park.
Yes, Emirates Park have been involved with this club for, you know, going on 20 years, so they've been absolutely fantastic supporters.
And, as I say, nearly $2 million in prize money, and then you get the English Guineas race, which offers so much. And I know we're going to talk to Brett Kavanagh shortly, who arrived last night from Albury, and I know Queensland trainers come down. Sarah, it's such a big race, isn't it?
It is. It's becoming a really big race, and the fields seem to be getting better and better each year, which is really, really pleasing.
Number of the leading jockeys are going to be there. They're staying because there's no Brisbane meeting. It's at the Sunshine Coast. All the major jockeys are going to be there for the 2 days.
Yeah, it's fantastic. There's been a lot of calls. Pilot has had a lot of calls for jockeys trying to get on the plane. So hopefully we can accommodate them all.
Okay. Craig Williams, I know we're going to talk to Sam Kavanagh a little while later, but he's going to be there on the Friday, which puts a Victorian jockey there.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, it was great to hear from Craig's agent. And, yeah, it's just amazing the quality of jockeys coming. And I think the Golden Whip Award will be hotly contested this year.
Yeah, it will be for sure. Now, that's the racing side of things, but there's so many other things. Now, on Friday, the Scone and region community come there in bigger numbers than Saturday.
Yes, yeah, so this is a traditional Friday. It's a traditional day for the locals. It's their cup day, and they really support it and drive. So we get a lot of locals on the Friday. Crowd numbers sort of, you know, somewhere around 8,000 or 9,000, which is a lot of people to pack into a small space here.
Yeah, for sure. And on both days, you've got the Emirates Airlines fashions on the field?
Yes. I think prizes have risen to over 20,000. Sharon Linton from Thoroughbred Events has been organising it, and Emirates Airlines and Hello World Scone are great supporters once again. It's a bit of a highlight for a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we know that getting motels and accommodation is very tight, and obviously we're now probably on the brink of saying there's not really a lot left in that area, but people can get buses and things from Muswellbrook, can't they, and from other areas?
Yes, I believe there's still some accommodation available in Muswellbrook. It's very tough in Scone, but we have buses shuttling on both days. So patrons get to and from the races. But yeah, accommodation is always tight. It's such a, you know, such a small region, so we've got people camping everywhere.
Yeah, they are, certainly are. I know TK and Slats are looking forward to camping out there at the track on Thursday and Friday nights there. Sarah, you've looked after them there with the right posse?
Yes, they've got a pretty good posse there, and the coffee will be hot.
No, it will be for sure. Hey, it's going to be a monster week this Friday and Saturday. Emirates Park Scone Cup Day on Friday, and then a big standalone Sydney Metropolitan meeting on Saturday. Sarah, we'll talk to you during the week. The main thing is that weather's going to be okay.
Yes, it'll be all good, Andrew. We're really looking forward to it.
Look forward to it as well. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Andrew. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to be there. TK and Slats, Big Sports Breakfast, Racing HQ Friday, and then on Saturday morning from 6:30, live from the track. Well, we're looking forward to seeing the country championship winner from a few weeks ago line up, Art Lee, on this Scone Carnival. Hello to you, trainer Todd Whelan.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Yeah, you must be looking forward to this. You had the option of going to Brisbane, but bring it on.
Yeah, that's right. He had a short break and this race presented itself. The only other race we had in mind was the Glasshouse at the Sunshine Coast this weekend. So Scone's right at our back door, so we opted to go there.
It's the Luskin Star that you've entered for over the 1,300 metres. How's he done since we last spoke, Todd?
He's been really well. If anything, he might have just had a bit too much of a break, but he had a really good exhibition gallop with Big Money, and I was very happy with that, but I would have liked him to go a bit harder. So he had a jump out on Friday, and yeah, he cleared out from that pretty well, so all systems go.
Where was that Friday, Todd?
Here at Muscle Brook.
At Muscle. Yep. Yep. So off the time, obviously you don't know what else is in it and what you beat and all that sort of stuff, but were you happy with the time that he ran and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, very happy. Look, he didn't beat an exceptional field, but he was running away from him by about 15 lengths. So to do that to any sort of horse over a 700-metre jump out, you've got a pretty smart one. So, and he needed it. He had a little bit of a blow, but just took the edge off him, which we needed as well.
And just listening to you there, you said that you had a good time, obviously, in that short break after the country championship. You've been playing a little bit of catch-up?
Yeah, that's right. He was supposed to go out just for 5 days or something, but the weather was horrendous here. It was very windy, and I didn't want to throw him out in the paddock while it was like that. So we opted to keep him here for a couple of days before he went out. So I just lost a couple of days with him, but I'm pretty sure that he'd be spot on for Saturday.
That's good. And you come back slightly in trip. You're coming back 100 metres off that win at Randwick.
Yeah, that's right, Andrew. And he's won over that distance at that track. I really think 1,300 is his pet distance. He'll probably get out to a mile next prep. But just while he's so big and raw at the minute, I think 1,300, that's his genuine best distance.
He won there back in February at this trip, when sitting just off the pace. That looks to be just the way that Mitchell Bell has got used to riding the horse, and the horse appreciates coming off that pace.
Well, he's got such a sensational turn of foot that he can be tardy out of the gate. So Mitchell sort of made the mistake early on of giving him a squeeze, and now he's figured out not to do that, just to sit on him, and he'll cart you into the race himself. And if he can just sit off the pace, they'll definitely know he's there.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a thrill what's happened to you along the way. How are the owners seeing it all?
Oh, they're still... they go to the pub now. People want to see the replays and ask when the horse is going around. And my family, they're not a big racing family at all. And they see him on TV all the time. And I was up in Brisbane when he had the exhibition gallop, and they said, oh, my God, you know? So it's been very exciting.
It's remarkable what racing can do, isn't it? It just brings everybody into the picture.
That's right, especially, you know, country person like myself and owners, and not very well known. Like my family, they all follow him now, and they don't follow any of my horses, so it's just amazing what something like that can do for the industry.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, we remember that day, and I know you'll remember it forever of your training days, winning the country championship final at Randwick. We wish you the best there on Saturday with the Luskin Star. That field will come out later on this week, tomorrow, and we'll wait forward to seeing the horse in the mounting yard. Good luck with the week ahead, mate. Todd Whelan joining us there with the very latest on Art Lee. The four-year-old lines up in the Luskin Star on the weekend at Scone. Well, we'll talk more about Scone through the program a little while later. Sam Kavanagh is going to join us. We'll try and catch up with Brett Kavanagh. But let's focus in now on Saturday's Group 1 in Adelaide. It's the Goodwood. The final field will come out over the next 10 to 15 minutes. Hucklebuck, before the market was suspended this morning by TAB, is the favourite for the race and will be ridden by Dominic Tenner. Morning to you, Dom.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Yeah, very well, mate. Looking forward, I reckon, to get this horse back to the track.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. Like, it's been a flawless preparation, so we're looking forward to Saturday.
Mate, I've spoken with trainer Phil Stokes a couple of times off those trials, and as you say, they just seem to have gone to plan.
Yeah, look, everything's rolled along nicely this prep, uninterrupted. What you like to sort of see going into a Group 1, you don't like to have any issues, obviously. And look, yeah, everything's run smoothly. The trials were both very good, and give him a final hit out this morning, so he's ready to go.
Okay, we'll talk more about that in a moment. We haven't seen him since he won that breathtaking win in the Emirates to beat Lucky Hustler, and the cleaner finished third in that. It was a real firm track that day. He went out, and really, from that moment, Phil didn't worry about the autumn, did he? He was always aiming towards the Goodwood.
Yeah, that's right. Look, his plan was only just basically the one run, the Goodwood, Tippy Mountain, bring him back for the spring.
And he's done that. Now, those two trials, has he felt different given that he's fractionally older?
Look, you know, he certainly hasn't taken any step backwards. He's still as strong as ever. And probably the good thing is that when he did trial on the previous, the track was soft and he seemed to handle the soft going okay. Look, we've had a bit of rain around today and probably looking like a bit of rain around for the week. So good to know that he was able to cope with the soft surface. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. All right, now that trial was the last one, was on Friday. So did he do much this morning?
No, look, he just had a little stretch of his legs the last 400. Just basically a little pipe opener and, yeah, that'll be it till Saturday.
How do you see him then with fitness? He's favourite, as I say. That's nothing to do with what you've just got to go out and do your job. But do you feel he's forward enough off his trials and gallops to be winning first up, Dom?
Look, you know, like Phil said, he may be a touch soft, but in saying that, class will carry him a long way. You know, he goes out there and gives it his all regardless race day. So, I mean, I don't think he's going to leave too much on the track, but fitness-wise, like, you know, like you say, we've given him them two trials and he's had a good flawless preparation. So, you know, he's going to be as good as we'd like him to going into the race Saturday.
And I know Saturday will tell Phil whether he ends up in Brisbane, this horse.
Yeah, well, this is it. Like I say, he was only going to have a one-run prep, so we'll get through Saturday and Phil will assess it from there.
Yep. Mate, good luck. A lot of expectation on him. We know how good he performed back in the spring. Let's hope he flows into Saturday in the Goodwood. Thanks for joining us. Good luck with the week ahead, Dom.
No worries. Thank you, Andrew. And, yeah, thanks very much for that.
No, good on you, mate. Dom Tenner joining us there from Adelaide with the latest on Hucklebuck. As I say, the final field's going to be out over the next 10 to 15 minutes. Vain Queen for John Sadler stayed in Adelaide since running in the Sangster. Caitlin Mathian is going to take the ride on Saturday. Lord of the Sky had a nice, easy trial yesterday at Cranbourne, held up by Damien Oliver. Seems bright and well this morning. Lucky Hustler galloped this morning at Ballarat. Everything's on target there. What else have I got from there? Yesterday's Songs, accepted for this morning by Mike Moroney, has 54.5 in the Goodwood, but no jockey confirmed at this stage. It ran second behind Thermal Current in the McKay Stakes there recently, and Peter Moody has accepted for Thermal Current and Flamberge in the Goodwood. So we'll wait for that final field. Should be out over the next 10 minutes or so. Joe Pride's joining us this morning. Morning to you, Joe.
Yeah, morning, Andrew.
It was one of those sort of days on Saturday, wasn't it? You had the good moments and you had those sort of moments where you would have walked away thinking, what's happened?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, they're the ups and downs, aren't they, of racing?
They sure are, yeah. Look, it's, you know, we had a pretty good week, got 5 winners for the week, so yep. It can't be too too sad about it. But, no, we had a few disappointments there, but a bit of bad luck. There's some really good runs in there.
Exactly. I just thought for our listeners, we'd bring them up to date if we can. What you're thinking about the Doomben 10,000? You've got Kuro that's at $13 at the moment. I'll go through them in market order, and then you can tell us, is Kuro a chance of lining up in the 10,000?
No, it's a little bit too soon for him just to go back up to Brisbane. I just wanted to give him the 3 weeks between runs, and he'd go under the QTC Cup.
Okay, so QTC Cup and then that start or hopefully a win or a good run then dependent on Stradbroke?
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Doomben 10,000 is out for Kuro. Next one here, looking at him, is Rock Sturdy, who was very good on the weekend.
Yeah, he'll head towards the 10,000.
Okay, he's come through it well?
really well, yeah. Big, tough colt, so.
And really, going back to when he had that little minor injury that put him out of the spring, you've sort of aimed towards Brisbane all that time, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. Look, it was very much a target for him, and there's some group ones up there, and we want to see him running around the best races. He's an entire, he's a stay-in prospect, and very smart horse.
And is he getting to his peak now, do you feel?
Yeah, definitely. Good improved run there on Saturday. This carnival sort of tailor-made for a horse like him, and I've been really pleased with the progress he's made.
What about craftiness? What do you do there? Or how's the horse come through?
Yeah, he's good. I've been really pleased with him. So he seems to have come through Saturday's run okay. Looked struggling to sort of find too much wrong with him. Going to, at this stage, trial him on the 23rd and then go towards QTC Cup.
Okay. I guess you want to see something in a trial. Is that the plan?
Oh, definitely. He needs to trial well for us to press forward. So hopefully he'll do that and we can, as they head towards that QTC Cup.
Yeah. I guess, when you can't find anything wrong, you've just got to probably just put a line through and press on and see what happens in the trial.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
So, I'm really happy with the way Sims have come through the run, so I've just got to press on towards that and see how we go.
Okay. How did Rain Affair come through, Joe?
Pleased with him. So just hard to place him, very hard to find a race.
Yeah, it's he's paying for the pass really, isn't he?
Look, he is to a degree, but he's got to find his best form and he's just not quite at that point at the moment. So.
Yeah, understand. Where's your next runners? I'm just having a look. Have you got anything at Hawkesbury today?
No. I'm empty today. Some runners on tomorrow at Canterbury and then a couple at Hawkesbury on Thursday.
On Thursday. All right. Well, mate, I hope everything settles down. As you say, you can't find anything with craftiness, but you just press to that trial and we'll wait and see. But the main thing for listeners is if you're looking at 10,000 markets and you're looking at Kuro at $13, take it out. It's going to go to the QTC Cup. Good on you, Joe.
No,
appreciate that information, mate.
Thanks very much, Andrew.
Good on you, Joe. Bye. Joe Pride there giving us the update on that. Brett Kavanagh will join us in a tick. He's out at Scone. A little while later, Tony Pike's going to join us from New Zealand. He's gone back home where he's keeping a close eye, I guess, through text messages from the stable on how Sacred Star is. Sam Kavanagh also to join us a little while later. Villa Verde, who ran on Saturday, confirmation this morning from Anthony Cummings that Villa Verde has run her last race. She's going to be sold through the Magic Millions broodmare sale at the end of the month. So Villa Verde going through that broodmare sale on the Gold Coast later on this month. What else have we got to you? Talking of Scone, no decision at this stage from Gabe Waterhouse on Najum, who was so brilliant on Saturday to win. Whether that horse goes to Scone to run in the Dark Jewel, we're waiting to see what happens there. Of Scone, Brett Kavanagh's arrived last night from Albury. Morning to you, Brett.
G'day, Andrew.
How you been, mate?
Yeah, good. Really good.
How long's the trip up from Albury to Scone?
Just a tick over 800 kilometres.
Yeah, so it's a while with a horse flight behind you.
No, we were in a truck. It was a really good run, actually. We come round the back of Sydney, so, you know, saw just about all freeway up here. We got here in 9 hours. So
yeah, that's not too bad.
Oh, it was great.
And there's that new freeway, or when I say new, it's been open for a couple of years, but it does change it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and it's a pretty smooth run for the horses. You know, there's no stopping and not many bumps on those freeways. There's no lights until you get from Albury to Sydney and then around the back and then straight up the John Hunter. It's great.
Yeah, it's a good trip. How many have you taken to Scone, Brett?
Three, Andrew.
Three. So I was talking to you at Albury, I think, during the carnival there, and it's been a plan that you'd like to bring horses to this carnival.
Yeah, look, it's all married up really good this year. You know, last year we done Albury, Wagga and Swan Hill. This year we sort of got our better horses and we went to Canberra, Albury, Wagga and Scone. Fits in perfect. So after the championships, I guess it's been a pretty easy progression to keep horses going, and you got targets, away you go.
Yeah, exactly. Mate, have you raced here during the carnival? You have in the past, haven't you?
No.
You haven't?
Never had a runner at Scone, but it's a nice track. There was we worked our horses there this morning on the bay grass, and there was plenty of give in it, and the place is probably at its best, I guess.
No, it will be for Friday and Saturday. Loved Up is the one you mentioned there out of the country championship final. It's raced at Wagga during their Cup Carnival. How's she doing, the three-year-old filly, heading towards Saturday's guineas?
Yeah, she's done well. She travelled up yesterday and ate up last night. Had a bit of work this morning. She looks great. She felt great. That's about all you can do. You know, we've raced her sparingly. I know she's been up for a while and she's hit a few big targets. She was pretty unlucky not to win the town plate at Wagga.
Yeah.
But this has always been, it's not the end of the road, but, you know, had Eagle Farm been racing on a big track or back markers, we probably would have pressed on to Queensland. But we'll just see what happens here. And, you know, it's worth 250,000 Scone Guineas. So it's been our target. We're here and all we've got to do is hit it.
You mentioned she's been in work for a while, but there's been little breaks between those sort of runs where I guess you've been able to freshen her up in some way.
Yeah, look, you know, she's a big rangy filly. She gets back and she gets home, and 7 furlongs is as far as we've been with her. You know, look, I could have taxed her and went 1,600 a mile and seen if she was a Queensland Oaks filly, but she's, you know, she's been winning and been racing really good, so we've decided that we'd just hang in there and just keep sprinting 7 furlong sprinter, you know. So.
Yeah, understand. What are the others that you've taken?
Price of Glory, there's a little ratings race here, 2,200, rating 75, 40,000 to the winner. He got beat 3 lengths in the Wagga Cup, which I think will be a pretty good form race.
Yep.
And I bought a horse up called the Monster, which won the town plate or the city handicap at Albury, and he's in the Hortensia. He's just out of the order at the moment. Hopefully he gets a run.
Hopefully for your sake, because he's going super, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's well known. He's a bit of a handful to do anything with. He put a bit of a show on this morning, and Greg Bennett and the Blakes would have been looking at me thinking, that Blake's a horse breaker. What's he doing with a spoiled horse like that? But, you know, they'll give me a bit this morning, but that's welcome to Scone.
Yeah, exactly. You just turn around and say, this horse, don't worry about it, goes good on the track. We'll be beating you if we can get a start Saturday.
Yeah, it was good to see a bit of cut in the track this morning because he likes a bit of moisture in the track, and it was good on horses to gallop on this morning. There was a good little cut in it, so yeah. No rain predicted. They'll have a perfect surface here on Friday and Saturday.
Well, I think it tells us, we were talking to the club CEO, Sarah Wills, just 10, 15 minutes ago, and it tells us just how big Scone's become. This is the 5th year of the standalone to have trainers coming from everywhere, Brett.
Yeah, and it's a good little facility. I had a look around this morning. You know, the training centre's brilliant. The people are all pretty happy. They get along pretty good, so you know, it's just good to come to a happy environment and a good facility.
Yeah.
We go everywhere and say it's great overseas, but it's good to come to Scone. If I was a young trainer and had me time again, I think I'd be here.
Yeah, no, it's a great 2 days. We'll see you there later in the week. Good on you, Brett. Safe week with your horses.
Cheers, mate.
Brett Kavanagh from Albury to Scone for the first time has 3 runners on Saturday. It's 23 to 10.
Sky Sports Radio is your one-stop shop when preparing for a day's punting.
From Racing HQ with tips and scratchings to crucial interviews from trainers and jockeys, our commitment is simple. Supply you with winners.
Then, the National Racing Service gives you the complete picture, full of colour and excitement.
Right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.